Good morning, each one of you. We bring greetings in the name of Jesus, and it is a privilege for me to be here with you all and worship the same Lord and Savior. And I've been blessed to be present and blessed also that I think it was a good introduction that Jason gave already about knowing Christ, and it just so happens that my message is about that this morning. And I feel so blessed that we can serve a loving Lord. And my desire this morning is that we could see the glory of Jesus. We cannot separate it from the glory of God the Father. They are one. And if we talk of the glory of Jesus, we talk of the expression of his, of the excellence of his character. I was impressed studying this some time ago, and it's not easy for me to bring this thought that's in my heart across in English, because I'm used to speaking Spanish. I was going to ask how many of you would feel comfortable if I preach in Spanish. You could raise your hands, but I'm afraid there'd be too few. It wouldn't do justice to the congregation. And Paul said that he would rather speak five words that are understood than 10,000 that are not. So we'll try to do our best in English. If I get mixed up, you bear with me. The hardest part about it, about preaching in English, is I'm not familiar with my English Bible. I have nothing marked in there. In fact, this is a borrowed Bible right now to make it worse. And then it's an English and Spanish one, but at least I can look across a little bit if I don't get it. But anyway, pray that the message would come across, that you would understand. And if I speak on this subject, it's not because I feel that I have really understood that what I'm talking about to the extent that I would like to. We want to see the expression of the excellence of his character. The beauty of holiness in Jesus. I don't know how often you have really thought about it, what it would be like to serve a cruel master, a tyrant, is that the right word? Somebody that wants to do us harm. You know, really there are millions of people that serve a cruel master. And we have the privilege of serving a loving, holy Savior that gave his life for us. And like I said, maybe we'll focus on Jesus, but we cannot separate him and the Father. And we'll see that through as we go through the message. And also the perfection, or the, I don't know if I'm stating this right, but anyway, his attributes, they're so perfect. We couldn't choose a better master. Sometimes we choose where we want to work, and we think of the person in charge, or what is the word for patron here? My son could maybe help me translate some words, but anyway. Boss, there you go. We choose our bosses. And I was just talking with somebody a couple of days ago, and he was talking about a boss that cannot keep his workers. He doesn't know what's wrong, but there's something about this boss that he cannot keep his workers. But who are we serving? We are serving Jesus. And I hope we will be faithful to him because we want to. And he wants them out of their own free will. That's part of the beauty of serving Jesus. We're not forced to. And then as we go through this message and look at verses where Jesus talks of his Father, the respect and the unity is so beautiful. We'll mostly read in the book of John. And then we think of our Savior who gave his life for us. This is our boss is not the right word. But this is the one we serve that gave his life for us, that wants it to go well for us. It blesses my heart. And it makes me so sad that some people turn their backs on him. And so many people don't know him and are serving a cruel master. He gave his life to save us. Another thing I want to bring out in the beginning of this message is if we want to see the glory of Jesus, we cannot seek our own glory because we'll miss it. And that's why so many people don't serve him. They don't see how blessed those are that serve him because they're seeking their own glory. And so they're blinded. And they will never find out who he really is. Let's open our Bibles in Psalms chapter 8. And often when I have read, especially a few verses of this chapter, there's one verse there, especially that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" You could think that this little chapter here refers how God took an interest in man. Yes, we see it there, but I think this talks of Jesus. And if we see what took place here, it's necessary to see that if we really want to understand the glory of Jesus. Let's read this chapter here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's think of Jesus, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What I wanted to notice here is that Jesus is the creator of the universe. And everything that was created, he created. And then in this picture, we see our creator look at one part of his creation, and that was you and me, and we were lost. And he took a special interest in this part of creation, Jesus, and came to visit us. It says he was made a little lower than angels. He stepped down to help us. We got in trouble because of sin, making wrong choices. And Jesus came down from the throne. Even though he made the sheep and the oxen and everything, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, but he came and visited us. O Lord, our Lord, Jesus, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Here we see Jesus coming down, but then being exalted. A name that is above all names was given to him because he took an interest in us. The creator of the universe, all the stars, and all its immensity. I don't know how much we all know about the universe. But when they talk of light years and they talk of how many stars there are, we just see a so small a part of his creation. It's so immense. But our Lord took an interest in us. And this is the Lord and Savior that we serve. And my desire is that we could worship him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 9. I like this chapter. It says that God, who at verse 1, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the excellent and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I like that. Especially when we look at how he stepped down. Was willing to step down and become lower than the angels. He now inherited a name that is above angels. But unto the Son, verse 8. In fact, verse 6 says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I like this verse. For thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. The beauty of holiness. the beauty of holiness. He loved righteousness. Our Master loves righteousness. Loves what is right and hates everything that's wrong, that's evil, and that is not the way it should be. In Luke, we see Jesus coming down to this earth. And just want to read some of these verses to get a picture of the beauty of Jesus and the different ways we see it expressed. Here in Luke, we see light. When we think of Jesus, we think of light. So many people live in darkness and sin. When we're in darkness, we can't see, but Jesus is light. He brings comfort to those that fear. Children often fear in the dark, but Jesus is related to light. It says he is the light of the world in John chapter 1. But here in Luke, let's read about when he was born. Luke 2, verse 9. And lo, the angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then we go to the book of John, chapter 1. And it says, All things were made by him, verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, and that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And grace, forgiveness of sin, and hope of eternal life. Then we have another example of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his face literally shone light, just a symbol of light. So we have an example of his birth, and 1 John speaks of light, and the transfiguration, Jesus, light. I heard somebody give the example of a father raising a son, and it touches my heart, because we have a wayward son. But by our teachings, it's like shining their path. We're trying to give light or bring light into their lives by teaching them about God and about Bible. So in a way, we're walking there giving light to their lives. But there comes a time when we have to hand that flashlight over to them, and it's up to them if they shut it off or throw it away. If they want to walk in darkness or in light, it's their option. But here we have Jesus giving us light. He's doing the same thing. He's shining our path. He's showing us the way. And he is offering the light to us. The Bible is like a light unto our path. That's what David said, I think. Jesus is the light that we need to find the way to eternal life. Jesus came down and he is the light that shines in the dark. There's so much darkness in this world and we need light desperately. Jesus is light for us. Or a light. And then I found a verse in chapter 17 that I don't quite understand, but it touches my heart. Jesus came down to show us how to live, to be a light for us, an example of how to live, and how to please the Father. And by his perfect example, we can now confidently follow the path that he walked. And we know we will please the Father. That is giving light to us. He showed us how to. Just like a father shows his son how to do things. What to do and what is right and what is wrong. He showed us. He shone on the path. And told us what things to avoid and what things to do. And how to do it. And in the context of this thought, I found this verse. Verse 17:19. And for their sakes. And I don't know how this is possible, that Jesus could sanctify himself. Wasn't he holy? But he came down and did his all his best he could to be just a perfect example, even though he was perfect. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. This kind of a master is the master we serve. A master that will show us the way. And my desire is to serve him all my life. If we don't, if he loses us, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. Now, a verse comes to my mind, but I could only say it in Spanish. Where it says about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Somebody want to recite it? Maybe by memory. That's pretty good. Better than I could have done. Thank you. Jesus sanctified himself. He did all he could to make it possible for us to follow him and to serve him. His yoke is easy. He didn't make it hard for us. He's not a cruel master. He's one that loves us and gave his life for us. Again, how could he sanctify himself? I just get the picture of he did just everything he could to not make it any harder than necessary and yet do it perfectly, right, according to truth. Neither did he compromise truth. But he didn't make it any harder than necessary to be saved, to make it to heaven. He showed us how to do it in the simplest way. That you and I could be saved. This is it done. Sorry. This is the master we serve. Why wouldn't we? Why don't so many people serve him? You know, sometimes I like to just grab people and shake him and say, look, You don't know what you're missing. You don't know who you're serving and what the outcome of it is going to be. But we are serving Jesus, our Lord and Master, that gave his life for us and did everything he could to save us and to bless us and to make our lives beautiful. If it's not that way, are we seeking our own glory? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Just read this verse one more time. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. It blesses my heart that Jesus loved and loves righteousness. Now, let's go a little bit more into this aspect of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And I hope this will add to the beauty of the picture. And also gives us that perfect example again of Jesus and how he relates to the Father. And also how we can relate to him. John chapter 5. Verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus, honoring the Father, doing his will, never seeking his own glory. He was only seeking the Father's glory. And there was perfect unity. When we seek our own glory, we separate from others. We push them aside. But Jesus never did this. He always sought the glory of his Father. And isn't it beautiful that we can serve somebody that doesn't seek his own glory? I can do nothing. How's it possible that Jesus, being the Creator, says himself, I can do nothing? Just the character, the beauty. What did I say in the beginning? We want to look at the excellence of his character. The excellence of his character. Jesus, I can do nothing that the Father didn't tell me to do. Not seeking his own glory. The perfection of his attributes. In John chapter 6... Verse 40, we have another verse. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. It's not my own will. It was, because they're one. But even in this, he speaks as the Father's will to save us. And he was willing to obey his Father so perfectly that he was willing to give his life for us to save us. But this is the Father's will, that you and I should be saved by believing in him. And in this way, have everlasting life. The second point I have here is the love and the unity that we see in Jesus and the Father. Chapter 7. (clears throat) 17 and 18. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus says, I don't seek my own glory. And the true glory comes by seeking somebody else's glory. The beauty of holiness, the beauty of not seeking our own glory. This is Jesus for us. John chapter 8. And because Jesus did not seek his own glory, he always had his Father's approval on his life. Why wouldn't he? If we always seek the glory of Jesus, not our own, why wouldn't we have Jesus' approval on our lives as well? Same as he did, the approval of his Father. Now, where were we here? I said, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Les dijo pues, Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always do those things that please him. Jesus is saying here, the day you will see me hang on the cross, you'll know that I always did what the Father wanted me to do. I never sought my own glory. The beauty of unity and love. The beauty of holiness. Verse 49, the same chapter. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Jesus said, listen, how do we want to make it to heaven? Do what Jesus did. He did not seek his own glory. He was always seeking the glory of the one that sent him. And he was willing to do that all the way to the cross. And then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, if we seek to honor Jesus and not do our own thing, but do what he tells us to do, seek his glory, try to do his will like he did with his Father, giving us a perfect example, Then he says, ye shall never see death. You shall never see death. I'm just amazed again at how many times we find these examples in the book of John. Chapter 10. Verse 15 to 17. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. So often Jesus talks of his Father in everything that he does and the purpose of his life here on earth. And it was to save us. When he was sent to come down, he said, I will go. And all the way to the cross. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Why not? Can we contradict it? We see it in everything he does. It is one thing. It is the thing of the Father that he is doing. The words that he was told to say are the ones he said. Chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. The last part of the verse is what I wanted to read. But then they took away the stones from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. This is when Jesus arose Lazarus from the dead. Father, I know that thou hearest me. But why? Because always doing his Father's perfect will. And then chapter 12. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? This is when he was approaching death, Calvary. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. It was hard for Jesus to die. Suffer. And he says, save me from this hour, but I came to do your will, no matter what. And Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. And then on verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We're just kind of repeating verses here, but I'm amazed again at how many times it comes out again and again that Jesus did not seek his own glory, but he always did the Father's will in everything. And that brings about this beautiful unity that they're really one. And one glorifies the other. Even though we see Jesus glorifying the Father, the Father glorifies the Son. as well. We don't need to worry about seeking our own glory. Jesus never did. He glorified the Father, and the Father took care of glorifying Jesus. We have a few verses about that. Chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And then same chapter, verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Jesus said, the Son is glorified, but it's because the Father glorified him. And God is glorified in him as well. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Chapter 14, we have Jesus saying these words, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Why could Jesus say these words? Because he always did the Father's will. He always sought the glory of God, and he was a perfect example of how our Father is also. Even though we're focusing, like I said, on Jesus, he was just showing us how the characters of the Father. Let's turn over to chapter 16. Just move through here. Verse 14. I was going to look at one more verse here in chapter 15. No, 14, verse 30. Did we read that one already? Verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. When he went to Gethsemane. Chapter 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Even though Jesus didn't seek his own glory, he was reminded of the glory he had before he came. Or he reminds us of the glory he had before. And then in chapter 17, we see some beautiful verses again. How he wants to share his glory with us. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. These are beautiful verses when we think of them in this context of Jesus sharing his glory with us, the way the Father shared his glory with his Son. Because he obeyed, because he loved the Father, and then it gives us the example. Jesus is telling us, look at my example. There's no bigger proof that we belong and are one than if we obey and love each other like the Father loved, like the Son loved the Father and the Father the Son. Because of this perfect, because of not seeking their own glory. And then we can look at different examples. We can think of the church. When there is love and there is unity and we are not seeking our own glory. A home, a family, where we live for each other. Where we try to please others. And are not selfish. Are unselfish like Jesus was unselfish. That makes for a oneness in any relationship. If we don't seek our own glory, and if we just seek to do the will of Jesus in everything we do, where there's love and respect, where children honor their parents, it is so beautiful. It is the closest we can come to heaven. John chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say it unto them, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father and to my God and your God. Jesus and the Father both wanted to save us, and they worked together. Jesus, not seeking his own glory, giving us a perfect example of love and respect, and giving his life to save us. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is God speaking and saying, I sent Jesus. Believe in Jesus, and you will have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. John chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, the Jews tried to stone him because he said he was the Son of God. But verse 20 says, For the Father loveth the Son and showed him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. If we have seen a little bit of the glory of Jesus, here it says, the day is coming when we will marvel at greater things yet. And for us, the greatest things are that we can serve this Jesus that doesn't seek his own glory. May the Lord bless you all. Shall we bow for a prayer?